Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And Melissa, please don't disappoint. You have talked this case up for days and days and days. And today you were like, I need to record earlier because I just can't hold it in any longer. And I'm like,
it's not that I think it's like a fascinating case, although I do. It's that I can't make sense. So when I research, right,
okay,
I get through the end of my research. And then I have like a whole bunch of gibberish notes, right? Like no timeline built yet. So then I go back and I like piece it together in the order I want to tell it. And then usually by the end of that, I'm like, okay, so like this is my gut. This is what I think happened. With this, there were so many things I couldn't make sense of. And I enlisted the help of, and I've been dying like to talk to you about it. Like I've texted Amy so many times this week and been like, I just want to talk to you because you're my person. But I enlisted the help of people that understand the situation in this case and understand. And I talked to my law enforcement friend, and every time I thought I got an answer, I was like, well, now I don't know. Now it doesn't make any sense. Okay, so I'm going to read you verbatim what I wrote to like as my disclaimer.
Okay.
I'm just going to be upfront. This story is messy. Primarily because the family's narrative and law enforcement and the media's narrative are different.
Can't wait to sift through it.
The family doesn't think law enforcement is doing enough, which I can imagine as a family, no one's ever going to do enough.
Uh-huh.
I did a ton of research in this case, really more than I normally do, partly because, like, this happens in a pizza store, a pizza restaurant, and I semi understand that culture. For those of you that don't know, my husband managed a pizza shop in New Hampshire for, I don't know, a lot of years. a lot. I forget how many. And then I actually worked in the New Hampshire store and then in one of the Massachusetts stores for a little while after college. We still talk to the family that owns them. And I actually enlisted the help of someone in the family to help me with the son of this, of the pizza shop owner, to help with this because I was like, I just need you to make sense of it. Mm-hmm. So I had done my research. I had, you know, put my narrative together. And then I found a podcast. And I was like, amazing. This is the only long form interview with the family. And I was like, great, I'm going to listen to it after I've done my homework. So like, I'm just going to take their like thoughts and feelings and kind of interject them into the story. Mm-hmm. Their interview made me say, wait, what? To the point that I was pausing and rewinding probably 20 times in the 30-minute podcast. It didn't make sense. Then I finally found police reports, which I texted you. I was like, I found police reports.
Right.
Does not help at all.
Terrific. Looking forward to the confusion.
Without further ado, today we're going to talk about Robert Barron. I'm probably going to mispronounce his pizza shop name. It's Gigiarelli's. Disclaimer there, I'm probably going to mispronounce it.
Okay.
So Robert has a wife named Maria, and they have three kids, Bobby, Robert Jr., and two daughters, Brittany and Nicole. They own a pizza shop, like I said, in Old Forge, Pennsylvania, called Gigiarelli's. A little bit about Old Forge, it's in Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania. Old Forge is a pretty small town, only about 8,000 people in 2010. But it's only like 3 miles from Scranton and 13 from Wilkes-Barre, which are bigger cities. Bob's family bought the pizza shop in the 60s, and then Bob took it over. They lived a pretty simple life. He loved his restaurant. He was so proud of the pizza shop. And his son, Bobby, was too, kind of like following in his dad's footsteps. They worked right alongside each other in the restaurant. His daughters kind of did their own thing. One was away at college, but he talked to his daughters every day on the phone. Mm-hmm. They were a pretty close-knit family. So there's not a whole lot of like backstory because I think it's they literally owned the pizza shop. That was their life, you know? We're going to go to January 2017. So this is just over 2 years ago.
Yeah, recent.
Yes. And I want you to know the first question I've told every single person about this story, they said is, well, where are the surveillance tapes? There are none. There are none. No tapes.
Great.
None. Just so you all know, I'm already mad about it.
Hmm.
Okay, so Friday, January 25th, 2017. The restaurant closes around 10 p.m. Both Bob and Bobby left together. Bob gave his son, Bobby, a ride to his apartment and dropped him off. Now, there are a lot of different reports. Some say between 10:15 and some say around 11. I'm assuming they closed at 10 and at some point before 11, Bobby was dropped off.
Fair.
I'll also say Maria says she saw Bob at their house at 10:25 p.m., but that's more confusing when you add that in there, so I'm just going to put that aside for a second.
Okay.
So he actually took a dough delivery every day at 7 a.m. So he had a apartment, like a little loft above the pizza shop. Uh-huh. So if it was a late night, he could just crash there and get up early for the dough delivery.
Wow, that's intense.
It's not actually abnormal at all. Like, the pizza shop that I'm familiar with, they're there at 7 in the morning. So.
Okay.
So, Bob was supposed to take the pizza dough delivery and then go pick up his son for work. I'm not sure why the son, like, didn't have a car. I don't know the answer to that. But it sounds like he didn't live that far from the shop. So, like, his dad just dropped him off, picked him up. No big deal. Around 7:40, he texted his dad and was like, "Hey, I'm ready. Where are you?" And didn't get a response. A little bit of time goes by. He's called him a couple times. No answer. So he just walks to the store because he's like, maybe he's just busy and whatever. Yeah. So he gets there. And now it's January in Pennsylvania. So it's cold. And he gets to the store and the dough delivery is sitting outside.
Great.
So he's like, well, that's weird. So he brings the dough in and this is the first question I had. I was like, well, would that ruin the dough? Could you not use it? If something happened and he had an emergency, could he miss the delivery for an hour?
Yeah.
The dough would have been fine for a couple hours.
Uh-huh.
I got that answered. So don't worry about the dough. He brings the dough in, checks if his dad's in the restaurant. He's not. Checks the loft. His dad's not there. So Bobby's like, well, this is weird. So he calls his mom. And he's like, where the heck is dad? And his mom's like, well, maybe he went to visit his mom real quick or to check on a rental property because they had several.
Yeah.
Here's where I struggle, but I'll tell you why I don't in a second. So according to the interview the family did, Bobby starts prepping the restaurant so it can open on time and get ready for the day. Meanwhile, Maria gets dressed and heads to the restaurant to figure out what the heck's going on, where the heck her husband
right.
is. When she gets there, there's a blanket in the lobby. And she's like, well, this weird, but okay. Now, I guess I'll say here, the police report says the blanket has blood on it.
Huh.
But she doesn't mention that in her interview. So just go with this. So she keeps calling Bob and no response. And then she starts calling hospitals because his car's not outside. And she's like, well, maybe he got in a car accident or something.
Right.
Who knows? So at about this time, they realize that the restaurant has some, like, weird things. And Bob's cell phone is sitting on the dishwasher.
Uh-huh.
So they call the police. I also want to mention, though, the family said in a Dateline interview they saw blood in the restaurant. And the Lackawanna District Attorney's Office confirmed to Dateline There was blood at the scene and a human tooth in the sink.
Oh, gosh. That's disturbing.
So I am at this point, I was like, so the son gets there and just starts working, even though there's blood and his dad's missing.
Was it that obvious, though?
So I was like, it's really weird that he just starts working. But when I had, you know, talked about the case, the point was made that if, God forbid, his dad had, like, slipped and fell and, like, hit his face in the sink and knocked his own tooth out and then drove himself to the emergency room, the show must go on. Like, the restaurant has to open still.
Right.
So to not prep the food and do all that, if his dad came in at lunchtime and was like, what the heck? It would have been a problem.
Sure. But I guess my question is it obvious? Like, if he didn't look in the sink?
I don't know. So there.
Okay. Got it.
I'll tell you this. Here comes my favorite word. Former district attorney Shane Scallion quantified the amount of blood for us at the restaurant. You ready?
Love it.
There was a significant amount of blood.
I knew you were going to say something like that.
It's confirmed to be Bob's. And it's significant.
Okay. So it was probably obvious when you came in.
So, sure. I also want to tell you that there were bloodstains. And one report says the police report is actually written in a way that, like, I feel like it's not written for law enforcement. Because it's like authorities use luminol, a chemical that detects bloodstains.
Uh-huh.
No kidding. Anyway, and it indicates the restaurant had been cleaned with household cleaners.
Oh.
And I, like, got hung up on the household cleaners thing because I was like, well, wouldn't they have industrial cleaners? Did someone bring household cleaners? That was clarified to me that, no, it may be cheaper to buy household cleaners. It doesn't really matter. Bleach is bleach.
Okay, yeah.
And I was like, well, okay then. So that's all they uncovered that day. The next day, law enforcement finds Bob's car. It's a silver Hyundai Elantra sedan, and he was driving it that night, or driving it in general because he drove his son home, and they found it on Howard Street about a half a mile from the restaurant.
All right.
There was blood on the door and inside the vehicle, and there was a considerable amount of mud on the tires.
Huh.
What is considerable? I don't know if it's more or less than significant. I can't tell you.
Right.
So they found fingerprints on 5 door handles.
Okay.
They also made the statement that says, what I would like to say at this point in time is we don't have any evidence of him being dead. We certainly have not found a body or a deceased person. We are asking if anyone out in the public has any information that has seen Mr. Barron going back to Tuesday, please give the Lackawanna County Communications Center a call. So that makes me say, well, was the blood not significant enough for it to be a deceased person?
I mean, I appreciate your thoughtful thinking on this, but I don't know the answer.
So there were multiple searches over the next couple weeks. They searched the restaurant. They searched the apartment upstairs. They searched the son's apartment. They search strip mines because it's a mining town. They're looking for a body. They search woods. They search a river. Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, hold on. Law enforcement doesn't say anything.
Okay.
Like, no body is uncovered. Law enforcement about this case is pretty tight-lipped. They don't give very many statements.
Okay.
So, that's basically it. I want to now go through the family's narrative because they give more information. Okay, number one, they make a good point. The restaurant is a cash business. They don't think he could be carrying more than a few $100s on him at any given time, but the store does a lot of cash business.
Okay.
Number two, his family believes he was killed that night at the pizza shop in a botched robbery.
Huh.
They think that her dad, the dad, wouldn't have put up with any scumbags trying to rob the place.
Right.
And that's a quote. And he would have fought back.
Mm-hmm.
Maria also says that the neighbor next door to the restaurant called Maria and said, hey, your husband's car hasn't been here when I got home at 11 o'clock last night, and he hasn't been seen since. My question to that is, A, that's weird, and B, did you sit there and watch the driveway all night?
Well, yeah. Did it warrant a phone call?
Like, yeah, maybe it wasn't there. Okay, cool. My neighbor's not home when I drive by. But I don't, unless I'm sitting here looking at them, I don't know what time they got home.
Right.
All exterior doors to the restaurant and the car were locked.
Okay.
Now, police have not confirmed this, but the family says there was $30,000 in a safe in cash upstairs in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire safe was stolen.
Oh, so something was taken.
Well, hold on. Law enforcement doesn't say that.
Oh, yes. This is what the family is saying.
The family says it. And then, lastly, law enforcement and the mayor have actually come out and said, stop speculating to the town. Because they've been naming names on the Finding Robert Barron Facebook page to the point where the family has been tagging the people they think did it.
Wow, that'll set you up for a lawsuit.
That's pretty much all the facts.
Okay.
So the police report, right? I was so excited to find it. And it's like, you know, the son walks in, various items are out of place, his father's not in the kitchen nor in the apartment. And the next sentence is, police were called. Well, I was like, what the heck? Who called police?
Mm-hmm.
What time did they call? What time did you get there? Why is your report so terrible?
Right.
Well, I sent it to my friend in law enforcement, and he read the whole report, and he goes, well, he's not the responding officer. And I was like, what? And he was like, well, this is like a secondary or even later than that report, because he says this law enforcement officer responded, and this person's just telling you what they heard.
Oh.
Well, what the heck? But they do put an interesting fact in. An employee of Gigiarelli Pizza was interviewed on January 26, 2017 by a member of the Lackawanna County District Attorney's detectives. The interview revealed the employee observed Robert Barron receiving multiple calls on the business landline, which prompted the owner to tell the employee, don't answer the phone anymore.
Hmm.
Now, when did that happen, you ask? I don't know, because they don't write it down. Did it happen the day before he went missing? The month before? The year before? 10 years before? No idea.
Ugh, this is stressful.
We don't know. Yeah, stressful is an understatement, because I have been trying to make sense of it, and I literally can't. Okay, and I'll tell you this. This is my last thing, then we can talk. I got to the end of my research,
yeah.
Right? And I wrote up my narrative, and before I called anyone, okay, so what do I think happened? Came up with my theory. And then I go to Reddit, right? Because that's what I do. I come up with what I think. And then I try to, like, validate my thoughts by other people. No one else mentioned the same theory I had.
Really?
Not one person. Did I miss something?
Yeah.
So I went back and I researched everything again. I listened to the podcast 2 more times. So then I found, like, a subreddit theory. And people there were like, I think it's this, blah, 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 blah. So I started to feel a little better, but I was like, am I really that out of touch that I'm missing something?
Hmm.
And that's when I called my friend in the pizza shop, and I called my law enforcement friend, and I was like, y'all need to listen to this story. And they both, like, made good points. Like, it wasn't the police report that was written.
Yeah.
And, like, the I would still be cooking. He's like, I would be calling my family being like, hey, where's dad? But, no, I'd be prepping, too.
Yeah.
And I do want to make one more point. The pizza shop has never opened again.
Oh, that was the end of that?
Yep. I don't know why the son didn't reopen.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he was like, this is just not right without my dad.
That's fair.
But, I mean, there's probably a whole array of reasons that they didn't open again.
Well, they own the building. So, because the first question my friend asked was, who owns the building? And I was like, well, I don't know. So I went and pulled the property deed. They own it.
Mm-hmm.
So the theories, the general theories are, one was it wasn't Bob that was hurt in the restaurant. I'm going to rule that out pretty quick. It's his blood, his tooth.
Well, yeah, that was my next statement. You already said it was his.
Okay. Right. So the next one is mob, because it's in a heavily mob area in Pennsylvania, I guess.
Oh, is that so?
There's no obvious ties, except it's an Italian restaurant.
Which is really stereotypical. So, I mean, I could see why people would say that, but...
The next one is the botched robbery. Now, there it falls into two schools of thought. It's either a random robbery, or the family has said they think it's two acquaintances of the son.
Oh.
That were familiar with the restaurant, knew what was happening, and these men have been arrested a couple times for, like, drugs and robbery, so...
Okay.
And then there's no talk of a walkaway. None.
Right. Okay.
So, before I tell you what I think, what do you think?
I guess I'm having a little trouble with the car, because if everything happened in the restaurant, if someone was trying to rob Robert, they probably just would have hurt him or killed him there and left in their own vehicle or whatever it was that they arrived there in. Why would you... get in his car, because that's the only thing I can imagine, that you got in the car after the assault.
Yeah, because his blood was in the car, right. So they put him in his own car and then drove it half a mile away.
Yeah, so that's the part of it. I ordinarily would say, yeah, I think it's a robbery. I can wrap my head around that, but I don't understand the car piece. That doesn't fit in with that to me.
Unless it was, they weren't expecting him to be there.
Uh-huh.
He fought back. They parked further away so then they could leave. They could run to their car and leave. So they made him get in his car, drive to their car, and then they all get in their car. Doesn't make sense to me either, but that's all I got.
I think that would be pretty bizarre, but I see what you're saying.
I mean, that's the only thing I think of that makes sense. Unless they're going to steal his car. But here's my thing, and I'll just talk about it now. Everything says they found fingerprints. If the two people the family suspect did it are career criminals, wouldn't their prints be in the system?
Well, yes.
So wouldn't that be a pretty easy, like...
Yeah, you run the prints, you get a match.
Got them. Done. Put them in jail. Right. Thanks. I just can't wrap my head around that part, too.
So,
you know?
In Bob's car... That was his blood, too, correct?
Yep.
So you can't even say that someone took his car and they had their own blood on them.
Right.
Most likely Bob was in the car.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's a guess, but yes, I mean, that's sort of what I would think, right?
I think it's most likely, yes.
But, like, we didn't talk about the idea of, like, Bob hurting himself somehow by accident and getting in his car. But then what happens?
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't disappear off the face of the earth like that.
Unless he took his 30 grand and walked.
That's not going to last you too long.
It's more than anyone else had then that we talked about.
I mean, that's true.
We joked that Tina Satchwell was on a different island somewhere.
Yeah.
And she left with, walked out of her house with nothing.
Okay. Good memory.
I just, you know, thinking through it, no one has said he walked away. And this is totally me speculating. But if there's a significant amount of blood, but not enough to say it's a body... And there's blood in his car, which was 30 minutes, which was half a mile away. Is it possible that, like, he did it himself?
It's possible, and it would be a time of day where he would be alone with very little people having eyes on him. A lot of time to figure out how to get away.
But then my other thing is, too, the reason that I kind of don't know how I feel about that is if he hurt himself accidentally or on purpose and then walked away, he wouldn't have cleaned up the blood.
No, you would absolutely not do that in that moment. If it was serious enough, no.
Yeah, so I guess I rule that out because he cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
But then my question is, like, how long was this person in the restaurant that they somehow incapacitated him and cleaned?
Right. Well, they had plenty of time. But with the robbery thing.
Amy, why did they not have a surveillance system in their store? Why did they not have an alarm system? Why did no streets have street cams? It is 2017. Why are there no cell phone pings? Why is there no nothing? Nothing. Why is there nothing?
It's the perfect storm. So these are the same types of people that also can hide a body and not leave their own DNA behind?
Are you asking me or telling me?
I don't know. To me, it doesn't make any sense. You're smart.
None of it makes sense.
You're smart enough to hide a body, but stupid enough to not, I don't know, rob a bank where you actually would make money?
Well, unless you're getting into a vault, in a bank, the tellers only have $2,000 or $3,000 in their drawers.
Okay.
If we believe the safe with 30 grand was gone, if it's someone familiar with it and they knew there was... They probably didn't know exactly how much, but there were thousands of dollars in a safe.
Mm-hmm.
But my logic is, if you're that familiar, wouldn't you know he slept there some nights?
Yeah.
And his car was there?
So, are you thinking it's like another employee, maybe?
I don't hate that theory. Okay, I'll just say it. And this is speculation, and I apologize, and if this ends up being wrong, we'll pull the episode down. I'd like to know why they haven't said anything about his son.
Okay. Tell me more about that. And I think it's reasonable because he was the last person to see him.
And he was the first person to see him in the morning. He had access to the restaurant all night. He could have cleaned up anything that happened.
Okay.
He would have had access to his car. He would have had access to his dad alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wouldn't have been abnormal if... And who knows what any families fight about anything. For all we know, again, speculation. The fact that he didn't reopen the pizza shop makes me go, did he not even want it? And he just worked there because his dad wanted him to?
Maybe. It wouldn't be the first time.
Like, the family we know, Anthony, my husband and I know, if something happened to the dad... The son would step up and say, okay, let's go. All the stories are going to happen. Like, this, we're still going to roll. We're still going to do this. You know, and I think that he would do it for his dad.
Yeah.
You know? So they never opened the store again. So part of me wonders if they thought about the store or money. It got out of hand.
You know, I think it's reasonable. This is so... far off, but I've seen the Gordon Ramsay show where he goes around and helps family or like people save their restaurants. I forget what it's called. But a lot of these are family businesses and I see the way that they fight. And it can get pretty volatile. And I'm not saying that this is that family or anything, but restaurants bring out a lot of stress.
Restaurants are a very stressful, high stress, high intensity environment.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a waitress or waitstaff, but like I said, I've worked in the pizza shop. Friday lunch and Friday dinner are insane. You just kind of go. So I understand that it's stressful. And I've also, not in a pizza shop, but worked for my dad. And my dad and I are very alike. And we have gone head to head and neither of us backs down. I love my dad dearly. We are super close. But working together, we would battle. And it never got physical. It never got disrespectful because, I adore my dad. But if I didn't have that, you know, admiration for my father, and I didn't have a problem being disrespectful, I could see why it would get, you know, out of hand.
Yes.
I wasn't even going to mention this because I absolutely hate using statements like this. But his son was actually arrested a few years before, or a year before this, for drugs. And they were only charged. I don't know what happened. I didn't, there were no filings that I could find. So for all we know, it was a mix up and dismissed. Mm-hmm. But if it's true, it makes me curious as to his son's state of mind.
Yeah.
And I guess one other thing that makes the son, makes it questionable for me is the only interview the family has done, the long form one podcast interview, which if you want to go be confused, go listen to it.
Okay.
It's just the daughters and the mom. The son has not partaken in any interviews. The son has not done any interviews since it happened. And everyone handles death, or not death, but everyone handles, you know, this situation differently. And missing people are stressful. So I'm not going to judge for how he's handling it. But I question why he's not out with the rest of his family advocating for his dad. You know, I hate even saying it. But when I got to the end of the case, and the first question I asked was, where is Bobby now, and why is the restaurant closed? And, you know, he saw blood, or there was blood, and there was a broken glass in the restaurant, maybe, because that was in a couple articles, but not all of them. But he just, like, started prepping.
Yeah.
But then, after talking to my friend, he was like, no, I would call my sisters and my mom and be like, what is happening?
Sure.
But I would start prepping too. And I was like, okay, well, maybe that's not that weird. But I just keep coming back to the fact that, like, he has the most access. But why is law enforcement saying we don't have any evidence of him being deceased? That to me is them saying, like, it's not a murder investigation, people.
Or they're just leaving it very open-ended.
Yeah, they haven't said nearly anything.
I could see why the family would be frustrated.
Why? Talk to me. Well, why?
Because if we're hearing this and we're like, wow, there's nothing. If I were the family, I'd be getting the same message and I'd be frustrated. But I know how the police work. They hold things back and whatnot. So it's not that unusual for me.
But they've held back everything.
Well, yes, and that's why I would be frustrated as a family member.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just can't wrap my head around what do I think happened and when do I think it happened.
And someone had to have the capability to hide this body if he's in fact deceased. And I just don't think that's such an easy feat.
I agree with that statement. I'm going to come back to the same thing. What do you think happened?
It sounds thoughtful. Because of everything that I said, you know, hiding the body, an attempt at a cleanup, right? You said the doors were locked, correct? Like someone, someone left and had the wherewithal to lock the doors, had to be someone that was relatively calm, that had a purpose.
So you don't think it was a robbery gone wrong?
Well, initially,
because that to me is panic.
That is what I thought for sure. But the car threw me. But now I'm kind of wondering if this was kind of like a premeditated thing.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this. It happened on a Friday night. And anyone that's familiar with the restaurant industry, at least the ones I have experienced, the restaurant I've worked in, Fridays were the busiest day. So it's going to be the day you have the most money in the restaurant. Because also your bank's not open.
Okay, yeah. That's a good point.
So you think... So we don't think it's a botched robbery. Let's go back to that. So because it felt very methodical, you think? Like because they cleaned up and because they locked doors?
I mean, unless it was like a robbery by an ex-employee or something like that. Who had enough layout of the land to kind of know. But at that point, it still is slightly premeditated. It's not someone that just drove by and said, hey, the odds are that guy's alone in that pizza shop.
Right. Right. And I mean, like I said to you before, if Fridays are the busiest days, they have to know, have some semblance of that.
It could have been someone sitting in the front, too. Like if there are booths or tables.
Because there are no cameras, we right. don't know.
So it very well could have been someone that was kind of like staking it out before.
Well, they said that the two guys, I think it is, used to come to the restaurant a lot. But again, if they've been arrested and they have fingerprints, I would say it's pretty cut and dry for me.
Right. So I can rule them out, whoever they are.
Yeah, I'm not saying their names because that I think that's... I understand why the family's angry, and I understand why the family wants answers. But I think it's a little bit reckless to call people out on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm no judgment if that's how they think the case is going to get solved. Like, I understand them being frustrated and wanting answers. Sure. I'm not comfortable saying that. I'd like to know, and this is not something I wanted to Google, is, like, how does someone lose a tooth?
By force.
Right, but, like, one, and they didn't break it? They just knocked one out?
Hmm.
I don't know enough about, and, like, would that cause a significant amount of blood?
We would have to know the definition of significant.
Yes.
I don't think it would be significant. Significant says that there is, like, brutality. If your tooth is bleeding, it's probably, or your gums are bleeding, I feel like it's concentrated in one spot.
So did they, like, torture him for where his money was?
And, like, rip his tooth out with, like, I don't know, pliers?
Then is that the mob? Have I seen too many mob movies?
You know, I don't know anything about the real mob.
Yeah, me either. I've seen, like, The Departed.
So I don't know the answer to that. But it didn't have to be the mob. It could have been someone angry or really needed that money.
And didn't know where the safe was. They gave him, like, whatever's in the cash register, which is, like, you know, a few thousand. And they're like, I want more. And you're like, I don't have any more. And then they tortured him until he told them where the safe was.
And they said that their dad wouldn't have given up without a fight, right?
Right. The daughter said that.
I don't really think it's the son.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't picture him having, and I don't know anything about him. I just don't, if you've never really committed crimes like that, and then you hide your dad's body.
Well, okay, hold on. Well, let me ask you this. I know I probably sound like a broken record when I say this speculation, but it's really important to Amy and I that we don't cast light on someone that we don't think could have really been involved. So, or that we don't, law enforcement hadn't said is involved. But here's my question. What if his son was a drug addict and very similar to the Robert Hoagland case, told his friends, hey, listen, my dad's driving me home. So he won't be at the store. This is how you get in. This is where the safe is. Go in and take it. But because he thought his dad was going to drop him off and then go home. But instead, his dad dropped him off and then went back to the store.
Well.
So his dad surprises the burglars. And then that's why the son didn't want to reopen. Because he would feel like, oh my goodness, I did
this. Okay, then explain the car.
They hurt him, right? Mm-hmm. Or kill him. And, well, I would assume that he, I don't know. He got his own car, I guess, but I don't know. So they do whatever they do to Bob. Then they take his car and drive it half a mile away and either take his body somewhere else or whatever. Or they go dispose of his body in his car and then bring his car back and park it because they don't want people to think he was at the restaurant all night. Or they don't want people to think he's there.
That sounds like a lot of thoughtfulness for robbers, like friends of the son.
You think they would just, like, kill him and leave him there?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't... You're probably right. I don't know. This case makes me absolutely crazy. And, you know, like, one other thing is, okay, so the wife says she saw Robert at 10:30 that night. I don't know how she saw him because he was dropping off his son. But let's talk through it both ways. If she saw him and he said, hey, I'm going back to the store, why did he go home and then go back to the store? If she didn't see him, why say she saw him? And if she didn't see him, did she talk to him? How did she know he was staying at the store? Because she told her son, oh, he probably just stayed at the store. Does that mean that she didn't know he was staying at the store? I have a lot of questions.
I do too.
Like, if my husband didn't come home, he better be in a car accident in the hospital. Because I would kill him. But I would also be talking to him.
I really don't know. Nothing fits here.
I was good with what I thought until I heard the family's narrative. Because the family's the one that says, oh, Bobby started prepping the food, and then Maria got there, then her brother-in-law got there, then they saw the Afghan, and they didn't say there was blood on it, but the police report says there was. Then they called the police, but, like, the media reports, Bobby walked in, saw broken glass, saw blood, and called 911. Well, why is there such a difference?
That's pretty dramatic.
And, I just say, if I walked into a store, like, okay, take me out of it. But then again, I go back to, like, oh, if I walked in and there was blood and then someone was missing, I'd have to call 911, and I'd, like you said, I'd have duct tape taping off the crime scene. But then I tell my friend who has a restaurant, and he's like, no, like, the store's gotta open.
I've got nothing left. I don't know.
Me either. And that's why this case has been so frustrating, because I keep saying, I don't know. I think through, like, one aspect, and I'm like, okay, if I believe this safe is gone, which, why would they lie about it? But if I believe the safe is gone, oh, it's a robbery.
Yeah.
Right? But then, like you said, okay, but if it's a robbery, what happened to the car? I don't know. You know, okay, so we don't believe the safe is gone. Is the family making it up? Why are the family making it up? To cover it up? What are they covering up? Like, it's just, it's literally rabbit hole after rabbit hole, and none of them, like, I feel like if we go down rabbit holes, we can at least connect some of the dots, and we say, okay, if we take this outlier and throw it away, everything else can fit into this timeline. With this, I feel like nothing fits together.
And actually, taking a body from the scene of the crime is more risky, contaminating everywhere that you go with DNA and dragging a body out of that restaurant.
So is the body still in the restaurant? They haven't said anything about cadaver dogs. Excuse me, Lackawanna County, can you bring some cadaver dogs in and update us?
I mean, that's a good point. You said the building is owned by the family.
So have I talked you into the son possibly being involved?
I'm really uncomfortable doing that.
I hate every second of it. And let me be clear.
I think it warrants, you know, some discussion around, because he is the last person to have seen his father alive. It's a natural line of questioning.
And in not for nothing, if the body is somehow hidden in the restaurant, they have all the time in the world to clean up. To make sure, but then how do you clean and miss a tooth? Do you not know you knocked out a tooth?
I feel like police would search the whole place. I don't know. Melissa, I'm done. I don't know the answers. I'm all set.
Amy, I have been done for days. And every time I talk to someone else, I'm like, well, I don't know. And I just get frustrated. That's why I've been so excited to talk to you about it, because we obviously can work through it, and you're as done as I am.
I'm not so okay with you bringing this to the table. I have a headache.
It's a lesser known case, which I was really excited to do, because I feel like we do need to get to some that are lesser known. There's not a whole lot out there. There's no specials about it. There's no nothing. But it's just so many weird things.
My head hurts.
So you guys tell us what you think.
Yeah, you go and make your head hurt about it.
There are no real Reddit rabbit holes. There's no TV shows. There's no YouTube. So, good luck. You can find the police reports, and you can find the inventory of what the police took from the restaurant, but it's like a mop, a Rubbermaid bucket, a mop
stuff
head.
You would find at a restaurant.
There's nothing on it that made me go, they found that? They took like 22 swabs, which they should take that. So cool.
All right, let's open it up.
Please tell us what you think. Share your thoughts. Social media us. If you have a different opinion about a pizza shop and a different experience, please tell me. I'm using mine and my friend's experience and my husband's experience too. I shouldn't discount him. I've talked to Anthony a ton about this. He says that if he walked in and there was blood, he would have stopped. He would not have prepped. And I was like, is that because you're married to me and I would have lost my mind? And he laughed, you know, but so, you know, give Anthony credit where credit is due also. But
all right. Well, that's it for this week. We will see you the same time, same place next week, guys.
Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Megan Hutchinson. Audio production by Amy Lamar.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're doing all the right things, like eating clean and staying active, but nearly all of us are still missing a key piece, minerals. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's not getting, supporting mood, energy, immunity, and nervous system balance. It's made from ionic trace minerals your body actually absorbs and comes in three delicious flavors, blue raspberry, blue Hawaiian, and blue acai. Because your body can't make minerals and modern food and water don't supply enough, start with minerals. Minerals. Start with Concentrace. Find it now at traceminerals.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.